One of the things that is interesting about these albums is that even though they speak to the soul in everybody and they're universal, they also feel like very much San Francisco albums to me, and were one of the reasons why I ended up coming out here and living in the Hate for 25 years, actually, was literally listening to Blues.
Did you have a good time?
It's been great.
You know, say more.
It's been wonderful.
you could be in Tulsa, I always say to
absolutely.
I always say to myself when I'm having a hard day, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Was it a little bit weird when you realized that at some point you were sort of a spokesman for a generation?
I don't realize that to this day. I take no responsibility for such a thing at all. No, we weren't spokesmen for a generation. We were just reflecting the people who came to the Fillmore. Often in the Fillmore in those days, the audience was much more interesting, I always say, than the people on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason I went to the Fillmore was because of the people in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Now and again, there would be some really good shit on stage, too.
Right.
And that was always a plus.
Yeah.
But I didn't go to the Fillmore for the stage.
Yeah.
Same way I don't go down to North Beach and hang out at Cafe Trieste for the coffee.
Yeah.
Coffee's pretty good, I'm told. Yeah. And I can even notice it. But yeah. I don't even like coffee that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Vesuvio's the bar or the saloon. Yeah. I like a shot of vodka, but that ain't the reason I go there.
Yeah.
It's a nice buzz.
Yeah.
But I like the people and the minds and the chaos and the undefinability of the situation. Vallejo and Grant, for me, is the center of the universe. Because so many people congregate there and pass through there that you can't help but being afflicted by both their psychoses as well as their beauties. And I learn from both of them and contribute my own psychoses, hopefully, and beauties to the mix. And the mix is what I like of human beings. And the Fillmore in those days was a great mix. Very eclectic. Just on the stage was eclectic. They'd have the Russian poet and Miles Davis and Jefferson Airplane. What a great fucking show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this would happen week after week after week. And Bill Graham used to use us and suck out our information, both from the dead and us. Who should I have on stage? And the dead would tell him Willie Nelson.
Oh,
and
wow.
We'd tell him the Russian poet.
Or oh, yeah.
Bozhevensky, or whatever his name was.
Bozhevensky.
Right, you know what I mean. And Miles Davis and B.B. King. And B.B. King had a great elevating moment. He cried when he went on stage at the Fillmore because people were so respectful of the beauty that he produced.
Wow.
And nobody probably had been to that degree of naive white children from San Mateo.
Yeah.
The great fact here is that the naive San Mateo white children found that they could be moved. And coming out of the 50s, it was not a very moving decade. And people were very tight-assed. And if you got moved, there must be something wrong with you. So for us to come into the 60s, God bless the 60s, and to be moved by such things as B.B. King and any number of other players who came there and showed us things that we did not have a clue about. Bill Graham has got to be, and Chet Helms as well, has to be lauded for bringing this kind of shit to the basic populace. The amount of music that was brought through those venues is incredible.
Yeah.
But more importantly to me is just the people who are in the audience.
Yeah, that's great.
As Grace said, the only benefit of being in a band in the 60s was that you were on the stage and you got to be a little higher up than everybody else and see what was going on in the whole fucking hall. And there's something going on over there. Well, I'll go over there for a while and see what's going on. You guys play some blues, jam for a while, you know. And I'll be back in a minute or two. That was one of the great things about the Fillmore.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it doesn't occur today, unfortunately. I'm hoping that it might again, but who knows?
At some point, though, the Hate turned into a pretty gnarly place, as kids would say.
Well, as speed and cocaine and everything took over, yeah.
Right.
But were from 64 to 66, oh my God.
Right.
The summer before the summer of love.
Indeed. Believe me, when they invent time machines, it's the first place I'm going to come.
I made up for my 12 years of Catholic school in about 6 months, in 64 to 66.
be aware if you care. Your mind has left your body, and for this one moment you are under the polar ice cap in a place we call home. How is it there, white bear, black bear, where you grow? Now all of you come back to here now, they'll swim to there.
How did a song like Your Mind Has Left Your Body on Baron von Tolbooth happen?
Baron von Tolbooth, Your Mind Has Left Your Body, that's just trans, what do you call it?
Transcendentalism?
No, not transcendental. The thing where you go outside your body.
Well, out-of-body experience.
In my experience, the only time I've ever been able to do that is on DMT.
Oh, wow.
Which is an ugly drug.
Yeah.
But I did go out of my body, and that was a very interesting situation, so it led to that kind of song.
Yeah, yeah.
That to be able to go out of your body is an extraordinary circumstance. I've only occurred to me once or twice in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
God forbid that it should happen again.
Yeah, the next time won't be.
I have other things to do.
You won't be able to come back in. Yeah. Now, another album that is being re-released concurrently with Blows, which is another great album, although it's a different group of people, but it's also called the Planet Earth Rock and Roll Orchestra, was your later album, the Paro.
Planet Earth is sort of an alternate quantum to Blows.
Do you remember how the phrase was coined?
I think, you know, we were thinking of doing a band, me and Crosby and Garcia, called the Planet Earth Rock and Roll Orchestra. And that would involve whoever else we could suck into the equation.
Yeah.
But because we were potheads or whatever, it just didn't occur.
Yeah, yeah.
And so after the fact, I took the name myself. I think Garcia came up with it.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
And asked him if it was okay if I borrowed it, or Crosby. Both of them, actually, I asked. Mm-hmm. They said, yeah, don't worry about it. And the concept of being people from planet Earth doing rock and roll.
Yeah.
Orchestra was just sort of a silly acronym to add to the mix. But it is, if you listen to Jack on Sunrise, like an orchestra.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And more to the point on that album as well, it became sort of a thrust toward outward movement, toward beyond the pale, alternate quantum universe kind of shit.
Yeah.
And Planet Earth Rock and Roll is just sort of an alternate quantum of escapism, really, to Blows.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them involve leaving what is here, much like Columbus left Spain.
Right.
And going out and exploring what else the fuck is going on here.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, I think, what we do as humans, human beings.
Yeah.
One of their greatest attributes is going out and finding what is beyond the pale. Or like I sometimes like to say, beyond the pale.
That's great. Yeah.
But yeah, having been raised Catholic, I always was questioning.
Yeah.
And so there's got to be, I'm writing a song right now called The Next.
Ah.
After everything, birth, life, school, parents, children, college, jobs, rent, fame. Blah, 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 blah. And let's see, blah. There's got to be a next before we die. Otherwise, why not just die right now?
Mm.
There's a next, I think, awaiting as we get older that should be explored. And yeah. I'm exploring that right now. I haven't got a word for the results yet, but yeah. I'm working on it.
There's a beautiful song on the Planet Earth Rock and Roll Orchestra called The Mountain Song, which you had actually written with Garcia, yes?
Garcia wrote that chord, those chord changes, which were just beautiful chord changes. Yeah. And I had written a song earlier on an earlier album with semi-similar chord changes that I think I got from Crosby.
Which song was that?
It's called Million.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Hear the sound of a million people. Almost the same chord change, just added an A minor at the end of the progression.
Oh, yeah.
Which Garcia did and made a whole different thing of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as we didn't get our Planet Earth Rock and Roll Orchestra together, and we all went off to do our Grateful Dead and Jefferson Airplane and whatever, I said, well, can I use this? And Garcia said, yeah, don't worry about it. So I wrote a song to that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
It is.
It's a wonderful song. I even have earlier takes of it on tape when Jerry and David are both playing on it.
Right.
It's a beautiful song even then.
Just ideas of places we'd like to go. Like the beginning card has words like this. I went walking out last summer, trying to find a breath of air. I went walking in the mountains. A friend had told me I'd find it there. And I don't have words for it. To G.
Now, what music had you made with the Starship at the point that you decided to do the Planet Earth Rock and Roll Orchestra album?
Yeah. You did Dragonfly.
Oh, yeah. Was Dragonfly intentionally a more sort of pop album?
No, not at all, no.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a progression from Baron von Tolbooth. All the songs on it are the not the same, but they're the next step, really.
Yep, yep. Now, after the success...
We just decided to start a rock and roll band.
Right.
Because we were tired of living not on the road.
Interesting. Yeah.
Where I was, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Now, after the success of Red Octopus and Marty's songs and that kind of thing, did you at some point start to feel that Jefferson Starship was getting away from what you want originally?
Not at all. No. I'm very flexible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was more than happy when Marty is productive to step back and let him have the full stage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he, I thought, on Red Octopus, as on Surrealistic Pillow,
right,
he did an extraordinarily beautiful job of coming to the...
But at some point...
He's not a front guy all the time.
Right.
So I'm more than happy to step in, as in Baxter's, as in Dragonfly, and later albums, when Marty's not feeling like being the front guy,
because
he's oppressed by it.
Right.
Grace is too. Right. I have the luxury of being relatively anonymous compared to Grace and Marty.
Mm.
Grace particularly, I can't even imagine the overwhelming pressure of being needed all the time by so many people because they perceive you as crucial to something, God knows what.
Right.
It's like a beautiful woman. The two women I've really loved are these women that everybody wanted to cage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody, all of their suitors who wanted them, wanted to cage them.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine caging Grace Slick?
Right.
Or in my other case, Ginger. Yeah. Ginger Jackson. Yeah. These are not women you cage. And I had sort of an inherent, though not recognized, understanding of that when they approached me.
Right.
And liked me. And I'm saying, okay, well, this is not somebody I'm going to take home to mom.
Right, right.
But I'm going to have a really fucking good time for about anywhere from 2 to 10 years.
Right, right.
And so what's your choice there? Fuck mom.
Yeah, yeah.
I grew gratefully with both of them.
Yeah.
And so you don't try to cage these people. You try to... And all the other men who I noticed who were with them tried to cage them.
Mm.
And I sort of laughed in my soup at watching them trying and failing.
Yeah.
These are not women that you cage. And I think God had intended me to be a priest in my avocations, and I refused. And so God is punishing me with the likes of Grace and Ginger. But what a great fucking punishment, I'll tell you.
That's great. At some point, though, Jefferson Starship or Starship became was doing something different from the kind of music that you had made.
Well, yes, of course, I mean, we're always doing something different. Well, every record is almost different, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, at some point,
Dragonfly is not like Red Octopus. Realistic Pillow is not like Baxter's.
And We Built the City is not like any of those.
Well, that's a bad dream, like the Dallas movies.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well,
I made a mistake there. Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Okay. Put me in stocks like President Bush. Should be put in stocks for about 3 years. It's my responsibility. Yeah. And I say, New Orleans, fuck you.
When did you decide to bail on what Starship had become?
I'm the last guy at the party, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm pathetic. Mm-hmm. I'm like the nerdiest, like high school kid who never gets the good girl. So I bailed when they were all, Grace included, headed towards We Built the City.
Right.
I said, I can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
The fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
They said, well, we all want to do it. So I'm out of here and fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
This is pathetic.